From the KERA newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. I had a look back at the Civil War's legacy in Texas. We begin, though, in Fort Worth. Mayor Betsy Price and leaders of four other North Texas cities met yesterday to tackle the skills gap. A booming economy is producing jobs, but the mayors say too few people have the skills to do those jobs. KERA's Stella Chavez reports.
Inside a ballroom at the Fort Worth Convention Center sat a panel of worried mayors. Dallas's Mike Rawlings is one of them.
We are seeing greater and greater gaps between the haves and the have-nots that are out there. And it is an education gap. It is an expectation gap. There's so many gaps, and it all starts around the schoolhouse.
A new study by J.P. Morgan Chase shows nearly 40,000 mid-level jobs in healthcare and technology weren't filled from 2013 to 2014. And some of those jobs pay pretty well. The average was above $20 an hour.
We are the biggest technology employer in the state of Texas, not Austin, not Houston. People cannot find great employees. Now, the word is going to start to get out, and those people are going to stop coming and stop moving here.
North Richland Hills Mayor Oscar Trevino said it's important for people changing careers to use community colleges to learn new skills. Another key, said Fort Worth Mayor Betsy Price, getting businesses involved in education.
Unfortunately, not all our kids are going to college. A lot of them need to get a technical job. They need the opportunity, or maybe they'll go to college later. We need to work hard on that. We have to remove the barriers.
Price says the community, which includes business, has to take ownership by volunteering and mentoring in the schools and offering kids opportunities. Irving Mayor Beth Van Dyne said lower-skill workers need to be able to move into better jobs. She mentioned a program in St. Louis where low-skill workers shadow employees in higher-skilled jobs. The goal? To get hired where they train.
Those are the types of things that we need to look at, not just what we're currently doing, but also what other areas are doing. Because I want to be able to compete in technology, and I want to make sure that we are not losing jobs to California.
And with an infusion of jobs at companies like Toyota, Facebook, and General Motors coming to North Texas, the pressure's even higher to close the skills gap. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
Now to a history lesson in our Friday conversation. South Carolina removed the Confederate flag from its capital last week, but Texas still wrestles with its Civil War legacy. University of North Texas's historian Richard Lowe talked with KERA's Rick Holter about the state's Confederate past.
Richard Lowe, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Thank you.
Let's start with the most thorny issue of all, slavery. How is slavery different in Texas than it was in the rest of the South?
Essentially, slavery is slavery, so you can't get away from the fact that it meant people were being held against their will. Along the Gulf Coast, there were several counties where slavery was very highly developed with very large plantations producing cotton and sugarcane. So in that sense, it was like any other large slaveholding area in the South. In this part of Texas, slavery was very thin. I think there were only about 1,100 slaves in all of Dallas County in 1860.
Out of how many people?
Out of about 8,700, so about 12%, which was very low. They tended to be household servants or workers on small farms.
Now, even folks who don't know much about Texas history know it's been governed under six flags. It was an independent nation and then was part of the Union for 16 years. What made Texas flip the switch to the Confederacy?
I don't think it was much of a flip of the switch because as long as slavery existed in Texas, and it had since the beginning of Anglo settlement, Texas was going to be part of that section of the nation that was nervous about slavery and nervous about its continuation. So when all of its neighbors to the east seceded, it was almost inevitable that Texas would go, even though Sam Houston did his best to stop it.
When you say he did his best to stop it, in what way?
He was requested to call a state-level meeting to consider secession, and he refused to do so. And in fact, a special convention that met in order to secede removed him from office. So he spent the war alone. He didn't take part on either side. He thought it was all a terrible mistake.
When you look at Texas today, what do you see that was shaped by the Civil War and then Reconstruction?
The most obvious thing, of course, is race relations. We've been struggling in Texas and in the United States as a whole for 150 years trying to get that right. As far as Texas in particular is concerned, Reconstruction brought public education in Texas. There was no public education system in Texas before the Civil War. It was the Republicans during Reconstruction who established a public school system in Texas.
There's been a lot of debate over the last few weeks about new textbooks coming to Texas public schools this fall. They focus on states' rights and not so much slavery as the reason the state joined the Confederacy. How does that jive with the historical record?
Well, people who study this all their lives for a living, professionals, are almost 100% in unison that slavery was at the bottom of the Civil War. Without slavery, there wouldn't have been a Civil War. And occasionally I get students who say it wasn't about slavery, it was about the tariff, or it was about states' rights. And I always recommend that they read the statement of the Texas Secession Convention, because the members of that convention wanted to explain to the world why Texas seceded. And what they mention is slavery, not states' rights. States' rights was a prop for slavery.
Do you think the South and Texas will ever be at peace about the Civil War legacy?
I've been teaching at the college level since the late 60s, and the level of emotional attachment to the Confederacy is much, much lower today among college-age people than it was back when I started. I think that will happen.
Richard Lowe is a history professor at the University of North Texas. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you for inviting me.
And the forecast, sunny skies, a high around 98 degrees expected. It's 81 now in Dallas, 78 in Fort Worth. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker.